Blog Talk Radio.
Never let anybody
make you think you're nobody. And Reverend Jesse Jackson, his favorite quote is his famous quote, one of my favorite quotes of his, and my favorite, I am somebody. You know, we all are somebody, and we should not feel that we are better or worse than anybody, because we all are God's children, and we are all somebody. My hand is on a prayer, so I would read this prayer from 100 Powerful Prayers, a little booklet. It's a thin book, and then we'll open the mic and talk with Cousin Linda, because it's been a long time. She and Michael Stevens Jr. have a lot to talk about. Again, I am B True, Beth B, aka B True, and you listen to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. Protect us all and keep us safe. Keep us safe your way. Show us light and make us wise. Keep the wolves at bay. Help us indoors and locks and shrill alarms. Help us rest in angels strong and ever-present arms. I thought that was a really pretty and effective prayer to share on air right now. And I would like to shout out all the listeners, new listeners and those that have been listening since the beginning, since 2011. The top five countries this morning, as I look over the stat, of course, our native U.S., Ireland. I wonder if Cousin Linda ever been to Ireland. I would love to go there. U.K., South Korea, and Canada. So a big shout out to the top five listening countries. And usually the other, like the top 10, Peru, Italy, Nigeria, China. So, but shout out to everyone worldwide, from right here in Jackson, in Dallas, Fort Worth, small towns, small villages, to the big major cities around the world. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, let's open the mic. I have headphones on, so I hope everything is pretty cool. And we will talk with Cousin Linda. Is your mic on? Good morning, Cousin Linda.
Good morning. Did you hear me?
Yes. It took a minute to get your mic on. Hello there.
Oh, okay. Oh,
happy 2023. We're almost in the middle. Happy 2023.
Yes, happy 2023 to everyone.
Yes. Yes. So, how about them Cowboys? Did they make you proud last night?
I was very, very shocked. I didn't watch the game. I just flip over every now and then. And I see some comments on Facebook. I was really surprised. I thought Tom Brady was going to pull it off.
Tom was surprised, too. You see how he threw that clipboard? Oh, my God. I love Tom, too.
I didn't see
But those Cowboys, yeah. So the 49ers, how do you think they would do with the 49ers?
I have no idea.
But I'm so glad you're proud of them, because you've been angry with them since, what, the late 90s?
It's been a while, quite a while. So I can't believe it. I did not expect them to go this far this season. And especially when Dak was out with his thumb injury. But that quarterback, the replacement quarterback, did an outstanding job.
Yes.
So
yes,
I guess it might have scared Dak into thinking he might lose his job. So he
exactly,
really
because
up.
The go ahead.
Oh, I'm finished.
Oh, yeah, because during the post-interview, I know the sports reporter asked him his thoughts about the naysayer. He said, well, I stay focused on my own thoughts and my supporting cast, my teammate. He said, I didn't pay any attention to the other comments. So you make a good point. Because,
I think he
didn't
pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think he paid attention to the comments, because, you know, Jerry Jones will get rid of you in a minute.
Right. And bottom line, Mike McCarthy was hired to go to the Super Bowl. And you're right. Either it's you or somebody else going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So big shout out to them Cowboys. And Mike McCarthy, mm-hmm. you doing it.
Yes, indeed.
So Jerry Jones is definitely happy this morning.
Oh, yeah. He's waited for this for a long time. They haven't won the Super Bowl yet, but this is as close as they've come in years.
Yes. And these are the stats are that against playing against any team that Tom Brady's on, they never win against Tom Brady.
Exactly. That's why I was so surprised.
Right. And then when Tom set out, like the early part, didn't he? You were like, okay,
like
I'm going to wait until I need it.
I really did not watch the game. I just flip over mm-hmm. every now and then to see what was going on. I had the TV on Morning Joe this morning, and they started out talking about it. But
uh-huh.
and just luckily, I'm up this morning because I sleep with my TVs on. And I woke up
right.
and the TV had gone off, and I was saying, what in the world is going on? But I know the cable company does maintenance a lot of times over in the midnight hour, and
yes.
I forgot because they sent me an email yesterday telling me they were going to be doing maintenance from about midnight to about 5 or 6 this morning. So
uh-huh.
when I woke up, I was trying to fix my TVs, and then I forgot about the maintenance. And then I just got wide awake since I had been trying to figure out what was going on with the TVs. And then I thought about you. I said, well, Cousin Beth said she was going to be on
when
the
air. When I messaged you, you had just logged out like 20 minutes earlier, last night.
Yeah, because sometimes I don't get your messages till afterwards. But then I remembered it this morning. And then when I came into my computer, there was a message from you on the screen, and I said, "Oh, well, it's a good thing I'm up then."
Mm-hmm.
So normally, I'll be intending to get up, but I'll just turn over and go back to sleep. And last night, I had an opportunity to choose an assignment to do substitute teaching, but something told me to, you know, just let that assignment go because it was at one of the schools that I liked. But something said, no, just let somebody else get it. So I guess it was fate or in the cards that I was supposed to catch you this morning.
Yes. You know what? I thought about that yesterday. I wonder if she have an assignment tomorrow. And we had not discussed that, but that thought went across my mind.
No, I had very, very few substitute teaching assignments this term. Or this school year, really. Because last year I had a long-term assignment. I was at the same school from, I think, October through June when they got out. But this year I don't have a long-term assignment, which I'm kind of glad because a lot of days I don't want to get up and go to work.
Now, was that high school? What?
Yeah,
it
was middle school actually, ninth grade through 12th grade, so kind of high school, but they call it middle school.
Mhm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you have to say about Martin Luther King? It's a lot of celebrations going on here in Jackson this week, and I know there are many going on in Dallas.
I don't know if they're continuing to celebrate over here, but I know there was a lot going on over the weekend and yesterday. It's good to see that we like to honor Dr. King, but I wish certain people would listen to all of his speeches rather than just that one, the I Have a Dream, where they take one or two lines out and harp on them. But they don't listen to everything that he had to say, especially a political party of a certain persuasion. Because if you go way, way, way back, some of those people really tried to paint him in a very unsavory light. You know, the FBI had him bugged. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe in probably the last 20 years,
mm-hmm.
they have found Dr. King, I guess, palatable, for lack of a better word. But he has
And he's
always,
a human. And he was a human.
Yeah, they haven't always viewed him. Yeah, they haven't always viewed him in such a positive vein. But I guess that's, you know, the in vogue thing to do now. But I go way back, and it's hard for me to forget how all of this civil rights movement and everything started. So I just kind of
Remember, you know, she marched with Medgar Evers as a preteen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I was a teenager. I think I was 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was still young. And I know what we went through. You know, it's all glossed over pretty much now. But now PBS had an excellent documentary on, I think it was Sunday night. I just happened to be flipping channels and catch it. And
mm-hmm.
they went back to the very beginning of the civil rights movement up until now.
Oh, I need to catch that from the very beginning.
It's really,
so where did they start?
Well, they excuse me. They started back from Rosa Parks on up to now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they showed the Freedom Riders coming through Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Mississippi, the lunch counter
mm-hmm.
people. I think that was South Carolina. Where the and they even interviewed, if I'm not mistaken, this was Reverend Ed King that they interviewed. You know, he was a prominent figure from Tougaloo College.
Uh-huh.
They used to just beat him all the time.
Oh.
And, there were parts where James Meredith integrated Ole Miss or desegregate,
uh-huh.
helped desegregate Ole Miss, the first student there, first black graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And,
love him.
And then there were some clips on Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, we just all love Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yes.
But it was very interesting. I don't want to say entertaining, but if you're not familiar with the beginning of the civil rights movement, I guess you could say entertaining, but it was definitely informative.
Well, it's good. Infotainment? It's something like that. It's like a word you could combine them. But for people to keep their attention span on the programs, it's important for it to be entertaining. But as long as it's facts oriented and like it was fact-oriented from your review.
It was definitely fact-oriented because it showed children, you know, how we had to face the German shepherds and the
Ooh.
Fire hoses, the water hoses from the fire department.
And don't get you started about those grits in that tray when you hit the when you were arrested. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. The garbage truck, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how they hauled us down to the fairgrounds compound in garbage trucks. So, you know, they didn't see us as human.
Right.
It's hard
and you
to
know
believe
what?
That, but it's true. They didn't mm-hmm. see us as human.
That is unbelievable because, I mean, this happened like when you marched, I was born a few years later. And I was born
mm-hmm.
in 68. And it's so crazy because I didn't see none of that. And that's why people should be more respectful and grateful. And like you were saying, need to watch these programs if you don't know anything. You know?
Yeah,
because oh, my goodness, I bow down to you and others that was part of that movement. Because that is so odd to me that I was born just in 68, the year that Martin Luther King was murdered. Mama was pregnant with me. And...
Mm-hmm.
But then it seems so crazy because it seems like we're going backwards, too, because when I'm watching some of this stuff, and right here in Jackson, we're marching for everything, water crisis to crime. Kenny Stokes, I had seen on the news, he had a march at Mega Evers' home on Sunday. marched from his home, I think, to Freedom Corner. And do you know he had to chastise and talk about then we had to be concerned about the white race. He said, now who's killing us? You know?
Yes, and the sad thing is we don't realize what's going on, because during the Civil Rights Movement, we knew who the enemy was. Very, very
right.
easy to point out and say, well, it's the Ku Klux Klan, it's the White Citizens Council. They were our enemies, but now with all the struggles that we went through to try to make life better for future generations, they seem to have blown it. And I think it's because my generation didn't do a very good job of conveying what we went through. It was kind of like, well, I want to shield my children from this painful past.
Oh.
I want good things for them. I don't want them to know right. what we had to go through. Because people
right.
in your generation came along, and, you know, and after you, came along thinking that this is the way it's always been. We've always been able
right.
to go and shop anywhere we want to shop.
Multicultural.
Yeah, we younger people think that you've always had these rights or privileges or whatever you want to refer to them
right.
as. And that just isn't
because you would come pick me up as a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, take me out to teach me how good etiquette at a nice restaurant. I didn't see any color only. That was the early 70s.
Yeah.
I didn't see any. I didn't see any colored only, white only. Always,
and
you know,
didn't see that
our neighborhood was beautiful. Jackson was beautiful.
Yeah, you didn't see the water fountains that said colored, and they were rusty,
right.
and the water wouldn't come up high enough for you to drink water. And everything wasn't air-conditioned back then like it is now. And you'd go into these buildings, you know, hot and sweaty, and you want a nice cold drink of water. But the water at your fountain, what you couldn't drink it because it essentially did not come up, like I said, high enough for you to actually drink it. You'd have to put your mouth down on the little spigot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to do that because it was a public thing. You know, you don't know what you're going to catch from that. And the colored restrooms and having to enter at the back door at certain places because, you know, the famous Crystal restaurant, we weren't allowed to go through the front door. We had to go to the back window to order Crystal Burgers. And if I had been thinking as a child,
are you serious?
I would have said, well,
oh, my goodness.
You didn't know. I would have said, you know, we don't really want these burgers. If we're not good enough to go in the front door, why are we going to the back door? But you get conditioned.
Oh, my God.
Going to the back of the bus, number 8 bus that came from Shady Oak and Georgetown, you didn't have to go to the back of the bus because everybody on there was colored or
wow.
Negro or whatever. But if you
and
rode
that bus
number
is still
5,
number 8, Cousin Linda. Cousin Linda, that
yeah.
bus is still number 8.
Yeah. But if you were riding bus number 5 or something that went through white neighborhoods, you automatically knew to go to the back of the bus. And
wow.
It's just so amazing to me that people are not aware of what went on in this country. And rather than
yeah.
taking advantage and want to embrace what our forefathers struggled through, we seem like we want to tear down everything. Because once upon a time, black people really loved black people. I remember being downtown in Jackson and would go to the lunch counter at Woolworths. If another person,
mm-hmm.
another black person came along and saw me, excuse me, sitting alone, they automatically sat down. And I would do the same thing because we had
yeah.
that feeling of love. You know, you didn't have a black enemy. And you could talk about anything. You know, we had lovely conversations. But
right.
now you see a black person and you wonder, you know, do I have to fear for my life?
And everybody was calling. And everybody was always calling. And also, that's why I ask you sometimes what happened to Black Pride, because I remember I was born in 68, so I remember the early 70s. And then Georgetown community, that was a mixed community. You've seen black, white, and businesses, white, black, and other races in the Georgetown community. But I remember the black pride, Mr. Harris, Mid-South Barber College, with the black owned hair care products and services.
That was Conic Beauty Supply. A lot of people don't remember Conic Beauty Supply, but they had beauty products too. Mm-hmm.
Right, and now it's hard to find black owned businesses like that. I think there's a young lady in Nashville that's really making noise with her black owned hair product store. And there are a couple small ones here, but not the big ones. So we have a big one here in our neighborhood. Instead of a grocery store moving in the face,
okay, people don't listen to me when I tell them that what happened to the black race was the movie Superfly.
And that's what you told me when I asked you what happened.
And I don't think that movie was produced and released by accident. I think it was a cold calculation, because prior to that movie, we were black and we were proud, and we loved wearing our Afro hairdos. And then here comes this pimp / cocaine drug dealer with this straight hair and this souped-up El Dorado. And this magnificent album by Curtis Mayfield, and started glamorizing that. We didn't have anybody, men didn't want to be drug dealers. We had men in college if they hadn't been drafted to go get killed in Vietnam.
Yes.
And that was
and
cool.
The only problem,
you know,
the only problems we had with drugs then were the vets coming back on opium,
and
right?
And they got that overseas, well, heroin. They got overseas. They got that overseas. That mess wasn't in our neighborhood. But and it wasn't just black vets who came back hooked on drugs and alcohol, because they said of the atrocities that they, saw in Vietnam, they wanted to numb themselves. So and there was the availability of drugs and the availability of alcohol, because I had people that I know quite well who came back as alcoholics. And they explained why they were drinking. And a lot of times, if there was downtime, nothing to do, they went to bars and clubs, and you got all this money to spend. So what do? You spend it on prostitutes and alcohol, and then some people chose drugs. But this movie is super fly, because, Beth, you probably are too young to remember the pimp mobiles that guys had souped up in Jackson.
I remember.
Especially that left.
I remember the heyday of Ferris Street, because we used to go riding on weekends, and we'd see the pimp. We'd see the successful businesses, but then we'd see all the other stuff.
Yeah, to me, that was the beginning of the downfall of Black America, and like I said, I think that movie, the other race knows us better than we know ourselves, because, you have all these so-called billionaire black people, but what are they doing with their money? Buying
they should be investing like Salt Bae, like our boy Salt Bae. Right.
Yeah, but they'd rather buy a house that costs $115 million. One rap artist bought a $5 million vehicle. Floyd Money.
I didn't mean to say boy. Because, look, we don't like that calling no grown man on board, do we?
But let me finish. Floyd Money Mayweather, the boxer, paid $18 million for a watch. None of that makes sense. And you're giving your money back to the other race. You're not giving your money to your neighborhood.
How much was the watch?
$18 million.
Whoa.
All it does is tell time. You know, you can get a Timex. But you don't see Bill Gates doing that. You don't see Warren Buffett doing that. And whoever the guy is that's CEO of Apple and whatever, Steve Jobs didn't do crazy stuff like that.
Uh-uh.
And they cater to us because they know, like Minister Farrakhan says, black people lack bright and shiny objects. And they appeal to that in us. We want to, you know.
I believe Warren Buffett, I don't even think he's leaving any money to his children.
Who?
Warren Buffett or Dan Pino,
no,
one of them. One of those billionaires said, they're not leaving any money. They're not.
Right.
They're like, what?
And Bill and
I think Warren Buffett, he's not even.
I don't think so. And a couple of millionaires and billionaires have said the same thing. They were not leaving their children any money. You know, they need to earn it.
And I was watching a documentary about Warren Buffett last week, and he still lives in his little modest home.
Same
that
house
he and his wife first moved in.
Yes.
Whoa.
That's the difference in us and them. And, you know, it's sad the way we are because we haven't always been this way. And you've got all these young people who want to do rap artists. And like somebody was saying, that's a very dangerous profession right about now. Because what's up with this? You got to kill somebody.
So it is important to invest in real estate or something. Like T.A.I.
and
his wife, I see what they're investing in a development in Atlanta. T.A.I. and his wife, they're investing in real estate.
But there should be no poverty in any black community. And you know, I look at the Hispanic community over here in Dallas. It's like, when, you know, they say illegal aliens or illegal migrants, whatever you want to call people. When they get here, they really don't, and Asian people, they really don't have anything to worry about as far as a job goes because they know they have, as we say, the hookup. You can get a job, and you will have people working like maybe as a dishwasher or something in the restaurant. The next thing you know, they moved up to, a manager, and then they
you
have
come back 6 months later. They're the manager of the.
They also get investments from each other where they can have their own restaurant or another business. It's like they have their own banks. They have their own everything. But us,
we definitely don't have our own shopping centers and our own grocery stores and our own hotels as often as we have conventions and family reunions.
Okay, but
and class reunions.
When we get ready to start a business, the first thing we want to do is go to a bank and try to take out a loan to get started, and we get angry because the bank denies the loan. Well, you don't have that with other races. They have their own investment. They will help each other, or they have their own banks. When they get ready to buy a house, they have their own mortgage companies. They don't have to say, they're redlining us. They won't give us a loan because I want to move into this neighborhood. No, you have your own. Quit begging. But we don't have that kind of mentality. It's the mentality of they won't let me. They won't give me. Well, get your own. And it's just like, you know, if a black person loses a job, you're scared to death that you won't get another one. If a person of another race loses a job, well, they have something to fall back on. They have relatives who own businesses. And then in a lot of places, you know, they're bilingual, multilingual. Because there was an Italian restaurant over here, I guess about 30 years ago, that was highlighted on the news because they refused to hire black people. Their excuse was, well, this is an Italian restaurant, and we have patrons who are Italian. Black people don't speak Italian. And it's the same with you go to a lot of businesses, you see mostly Hispanics or sometimes all Hispanics.
Well,
working
that's one thing that our late brother-in-law Tommy got on me about, the importance of becoming bilingual. And like you were saying, mm-hmm. the black-owned business, you know, but it's important to be bilingual right now.
You have to know another language. And when you're traveling
right.
overseas,
exactly.
you don't have to worry whether or not somebody speaks English. Because
I can't wait till you start planning our Dubai trip. I thought you had won that $1.3 billion so we could start our world travel.
I had got to the point where I was hoping, you know, well, just give me a couple of million. And I got all these darn lotto tickets here where I said if I had the money that I have over here, these non-winning lotto tickets, I could go have a wonderful meal. Because I probably have about $75 or $80 worth of non-winning lotto tickets trying to win. I said, I'm through. I'm not going to play any more lotto.
You didn't win like $50 on any of them?
I didn't even have one number. I had bought like 5 tickets, and I think I had one number out of the 5 sets of tickets. And on one, I think I bought 3, didn't have any numbers. So I don't know. I just hit a dry spell. One while I was getting, you know, I'd win maybe 15, 20, something to keep me
uh-huh.
playing, you know. Nothing.
Wow.
So
when you least expect it. I hope when I least expect it, too, because I'm like you.
Well,
I hope
what,
that one day.
You should buy some lottery tickets in Mississippi because your payouts are better than they are over here in Texas. Texas has very fancy. Y'all's games over there pay way more than Texas winning lottery prize because we have way more people in this state buying lottery tickets. But Mississippi
right.
has much better payouts.
Well, a couple
like
weeks ago, like over there what?
Oh, I was going to say, if you play here, the cash 5, if you get 4
uh-huh.
numbers out of 5, you only win $350, and your top prize
uh-huh.
is $25,000. Sometimes you have
oh.
2 and 3 people who have won on that same ticket. You know, you have to split the $25,000 3 ways. But in Mississippi, if you play 5 numbers, I forget how much it is, but it's way more than $25,000. Your scratch-offs pay more.
Right.
So
I know a few
people.
So someone in Byram, someone bought a ticket in Byram. They won $4 million in Van Cleve, Mississippi, wherever that is. I think that they won $1 million, like in the same week. Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
yeah, like a few weeks ago for the Mega Million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all have much better chances of winning. I really thought it was going to be a kind of pitiful, being Mississippi. I really expected it to be a pitiful lottery, but no, it's not. I keep up with not as much as I used to because I had a friend over there who had sent her some money to buy me some scratch-off
uh-huh.
tickets and some, you know, lotto tickets.
Wow.
And, but anyway.
Well, how did you do with those? How did you do with those?
Okay, it would seem like I would always win enough to keep playing. But the last time I sent her some money, she decided she was not going to go buy lotto tickets with my money. So she just kept my money and did not buy any lotto tickets.
Well,
but,
she could have at least sent you the
I really,
tickets and said, well, this is the last time. Oh,
she could have done that. But what she used to do, like,
I don't mind getting them for you, sending them to you. Wow.
Okay. I didn't want to ask you because I know you didn't have transportation all the time.
Right around the corner. I'm going to win. And I said, you guys are going to get that money. Some Arab guys on the shell right around the corner. And they seem to believe me. They like, we hope so. We hope you win and we get our part.
Yeah, they get big money too. Because I think they get 5 cents. Every lotto ticket that the store sells, they get 5 cents. And that's a lot of money,
yeah.
And especially during these peak times when the jackpots are real big. But, you know, back to my friend, like if I send her $20, well, she'd buy about $25. You know, she'd throw in some extras. And I guess she just felt like, well, I've sent her enough extras until I'm just going to keep this money. And,
well, she could
you know,
have
we
said,
well,
this is my last time, Linda. She could have said, well, this is my last time.
She could have. She could have. She could. And you know, but I'm not going to follow.
I wondered if she buy the tickets and won anything. I wondered if she buy some tickets and won.
I kind of think maybe she won some money off me. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just know she said, because I kept looking for them in the mail. And she lied and said, well, I'm going to get them this weekend. I'm going to buy them this time. And what? And finally, I just said, well, did you decide whether or not you're going to be sending my tickets over? She said, no, I'm not. Oh,
well,
okay.
Well, your last voyage to Windstar, how did you do? Because I seen where you and Laverne went to Windstar the other week, and I didn't want to ask you in the comments, did you win anything? But how did you
do? Yes, I did. Windstar was profitable. It was enough for me to bring home and deposit in my checking account.
Ooh, woo-hoo. Yes,
yeah,
I wanted to ask you about the food, and I wanted to ask you about the food.
I didn't take any pictures at the restaurant. We ate at a place called Chips and Ale, which was very good. It's like an English pub. And I had beer battered cod and chips, which is French fries, and a Blue Moon beer, which I think is an IPA. And it was very good. And I think it wasn't but about $17 or $18 for all that. The food was very inexpensive because those restaurants up at Windstar can be super overpriced or what you're getting, but I highly recommend, I think it's called Chips and Ale. Their prices are really good. And one of my friends got a burger, and she was saying how good the burger was.
I never made it to Windstar. You know, I worked at Choctaw, and, you know, I have worked in food and beverages. At a good burger place in F&B, but I noticed that pubs are very popular in North Texas and Oklahoma. When I come back, we must go to a place called Sullivan's in Sherman. I mean, the best pizza and best beer. I mean, pizza and beer to represent the world is at this place. I'm like, it's how you find the best restaurants in hidden towns.
Yeah, you do. But now Laverne and I are going to go to Choctaw next month because I've heard people say that Choctaw pays better than Windstar.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I'm going to go up there and see what's going on at Choctaw. But, yeah, everybody says your chances of winning are better and you win more money than at Windstar.
Oh, yes, because I know people that worked at Windstar used to come to Choctaw and win big. You know, because certain games that you can't play when you work at a certain casino, you know, it's certain games. That you can't, I think we can only play like the progressive when you are an employee. I think we can only play the progressive machine. But I've heard people win big at Windstar. But yeah, Choctaw, I remember they. When I first started working there, I didn't know you don't supposed to, like, tell people certain things because we were trained. You know, there are certain things that you were trained, that the employees are trained to not do, but to watch out for also, like, gamblers and addictions and stuff like that, like a psychologist. Sometimes people will ask me, well, which machines are paying out? And sometimes I remember I had to stop. I would tell people, like, those machines have been hidden. But then the people will come back and tell me that they won. But employees aren't supposed to tell you because what if they don't hit? And then the guests will get upset. Well, she told me that these machines hit real good, you know. So I had to stop there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But the do you have any rituals?
Any what?
Rituals. When you play.
No. No, some people do, you know, they crack their fingers and make signs and all that. No, I just go up there, put my card in, and hope for the best. Now, my friend
Mom and I used to like to go to Vicksburg, you know, to play for fun and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right, and what we did when we knew to keep it and not play it back, unless we just wanted to play it back for fun.
You, yeah, because now see, I'm not a gambler other than the lottery, which
right.
I'm gonna cool that. It'll be a long time before I buy another lottery ticket. But yeah, my friends, the two ladies that we go, you know, with each other, they are gamblers. I mean, if they win, if they hit $500 or $600, they'll sit up there and put it back in the machine trying to win the big one. I'm like, $500? Oh no. That's a work day for me.
I remember some of the guests the guests became friends when I worked at Choctaw in Durant, Oklahoma. And I remember they would hit big, win those, like you said, hundreds and thousands. And they're like, well, I'm out of here. As soon as they win, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're gone. They're like, I'm out of here because I'm not playing this back. I won it. I'm out of here. But but you're right. They're like your friends. I mean, I met people that literally would put themselves on ban, would lock their debit card in their car, credit card in their car, like that's going to do something. And then they do exactly what they didn't want to do. They'll rush out to their car, to the vehicle, and get the credit card or debit card so they can gamble some more.
Yeah. Go to the ATM and get more money. I see people going to the ATM. I'm like, not me. Mm-mm.
And then the church people would tickle me. My church members get on me about gambling. Well, it was mighty funny they don't say anything when I pay my tithes and my offering.
Right.
They used to tickle me.
And according to the scriptures, it's not a sin to gamble.
Right.
Because do a lot of reading about the Jewish faith, and according to the Noahide laws, it's not a sin to gamble. And Israel has a lottery, because I used to play the Israeli lottery online. Mm-hmm. I had my money converted over to shekels.
And the Choctaw Indians here in Mississippi and Oklahoma and probably all around the country, they are very strict. Very family oriented. I mean, some people because I did have some fellow Christians that would say, oh, I can't believe you work at a casino. And I'm like, if you only knew how strict Choctaw Indians are, I love things that we cannot do.
Well,
you would be shocked.
You know, you've got a lot of church people who don't really understand the scriptures, or I don't know. I think mostly what they do is tradition, because you've got certain groups. I won't call any names of the denominations or whatever, but they tell
right.
you that it's a sin for women to wear pants, and the Bible says that a woman should not liken herself with a man. And I said, well, if you read the scriptures, you know that if you knew anything about history, you know that men were not wearing pants. Women were not wearing pants because pants had not been invented.
Exactly.
So how can it be a sin for women to wear pants? And, you know, they'll tell you you're going to die and go to hell if you're a woman because you wear makeup and because you wear pants. And you can't reason with those church members because it's so embedded. It's like they've been brainwashed into thinking this. And they want to tell you about it's a sin to do certain things, but they are sinning when they stand in judgment of you because they don't know who's going to go to hell when they die. That's not for them to determine. You don't die and go to hell because you smoke cigarettes. Well, that might be a sin and a vice, but one sin is not going to keep you out of heaven because we all have sinned and fallen short. of the grace of God, and I just don't understand how some people interpret the scriptures. It's like they go to these divinity schools, and then you've got ministers who say they were called, and they don't actually study the scriptures, but they can tell you what they think is a sin and what they think you should or should not be doing. Meanwhile, they're sinning. Because look at all your pedophile priests. Look at your bishops and pastors or whomever who father children with women other than their wives. So I don't,
right.
I don't listen to all that. You know, I don't let so-called church leaders determine what I'm going to do and not do and tell me what's right for my life. I'll, you know, read the scriptures and study and go basically what? On, like I said, what a lot of what Jews, because they are the ones who first gave us the Torah, which is their book, and then Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus said he came to not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. Well, the law came from Moses and God. So a lot of this stuff in Christianity is man-made. You know, I could go on and on about that. You know,
I
like
know.
Christian Sabbath day is Sunday. According to the
Because I know that you relate more to, you relate a lot to Judaism, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's where our laws came from.
Sadly.
And then, you know, see, the Catholic Church started adding a lot of what we do. Like, how did we go from the Sabbath being on Saturday to Sunday? People need to look and see why Christians celebrate Sunday as the Sabbath rather than Saturday.
There's this collective that's on Facebook, and they go to churches and ask pastors that question.
Mm-hmm. And they'll justify why it was changed, and they'll tell you that it doesn't matter which day we observe as the Sabbath. But the scripture says, you know, the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So I don't understand, you know, how you're going to tell me that if I gamble, you know, if I play cards, if some churches even say you can't go to the movies, that's a sin. But you can observe pagan holidays. You think that's okay?
Right.
When that's not in the scriptures. And like Jesus said, in vain do they worship me. A lot of the stuff they say they're doing because they're worshiping Jesus. No, they're not. They're following the traditions of man. But I mean,
which
you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But don't tell me what I'm doing is a sin. It might be a sin in your mind, but
right.
I don't see it as a sin. So, you know, take care of your own business and leave mine alone.
Stay in your lane. Not stay in mine. You make me think about what state is that where they're trying to get the female lawmakers to cover their shoulders?
So what now?
I said, what state is it that they're trying to get their state lawmakers to cover their shoulders and wear jackets and, you know, not wear...
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, because that's something that's been making the news this week. I'm shocked that you didn't see that on Morning Joe yesterday morning, because I like Morning Joe also. But there's a lot going on that, you know, a lot of female lawmakers in this particular state, they feel like the male lawmakers are... just trying to, you know, force women again to do something.
Well, when you say cover their shoulders, do you mean wear modest clothing?
Well, you know what? And I'm like, well, most companies, even working at a department store, wants you to wear a dress modest and wear a jacket and cover your shoulders.
Well,
so,
what I was going to say. So if you're talking about women should dress modestly, lay down the law in the church as to how you want your parishioners or members or whatever to come dressed.
Good point.
But a lot of
Good
churches
point.
Say, well, if I tell people that they can't wear certain things, they won't come. And common sense should tell some people how to dress when they go to church. But everything is so casual now and so dressed down. But if people don't know any better, because when I'm subbing and I look at what some of these students wear to school, this would have been unheard of during the ancient years of when I was in school. Or
you sound like Sherry Shepherd. I watched the episode of Sherry Shepherd last week, and she said it was picture day for her son. Her son, instead of being dressed nicely, he had on sweatpants and a T-shirt. And she said she made him change clothes. That did not. But then when he made it to school, all the other kids were dressed like he was dressed originally. Not dressed up, but dressed down.
Yeah,
she just couldn't believe it.
And it's like adults in authority are afraid to make demands on the younger generation because, you know, the younger people don't think they have to do anything that they don't want to do. It's
right.
My life. I do what I want to do. I don't care. And I hate that, and I know I'll probably get ostracized for saying this, that the military doesn't draft anymore. You know, we shouldn't be sending people to fight foreign wars unless we are threatened directly in this country. But I like the discipline of the military.
Right.
I kept going because I didn't want to go in because I didn't want to follow certain orders. But, you know, I mean, orders that I thought might maybe would have gotten somebody killed or whatever, not because I just
But you learned a lot being an officer's wife, and then I learned a lot in JROTC in 8th and 9th grade. Well, I didn't go on like Cousin Tierra and Evelyn and all, but you're right, Christopher Dell. I'm like, Chris, I might make this out of a career like you and go in the Army. He was, and I guess I have a rebellious spirit like you. And Chris was like, I don't think it would be right for you.
Yeah.
You know.
When I was in school, there were certain things that we could not do. Girls could not wear pants to school. You didn't talk
right.
back to your teacher. You respected authority. So, I mean, things that are basic and simple to me, young people don't see it that way now. They don't believe in giving respect to somebody. And, you know, and it's not disrespect to an older person. You don't respect your peers because I hear all this name calling. Young men
yeah.
are calling young girls B-I-T-C-H-E-S's and H-O's, and the young girls don't see anything wrong with it. They think that's
yes.
cute.
Yeah, because it was so crazy. When we had Coach Prime at Jackson full time, opposing school football players would say ugly things to him. I mean, regardless of it. What? That is crazy.
Yeah, and the students don't have any respect for the principal. And they think that if you are told that you can't do something because it's school policy, they don't recognize that. I can do what I want to do. I can do anything I want. That's when you get out in the
right.
world, you will find that you cannot do anything you want to do. Ain't nobody going
right.
to tell me I can't do something. I can do anything I want to do. I said, somebody is going to tell you what you can and can't do. It's going to either be the warden, or is going to be the police. Somebody is going to tell you that something that you can't
or,
do. You know.
Or somebody's bad. Somebody's better than you. You
yeah.
talk that crap
but
to.
I mean, they don't realize in everyday life they are being told what to do. And you get in the car and decide you don't want to use your seatbelt, you can get a ticket or a citation for not having your seatbelt fastened. In the state of Texas, your vehicle has to have an up-to-date inspection sticker. So somebody is going to tell you, well, you won't drive this car or you're going to get ticketed or whatever. But you're constantly
Same
being
here in
told
Jackson.
Things.
Same here in Jackson. But when they put a roadblock and people get stopped, then they're ready to march.
Uh-huh. if the light is on red, you can't just go just because you want to go. But they can't think, see, their little brains have not developed or they haven't just in time. You know, you can do anything you want to do. No, you can't. But they don't realize that. And they're not getting raised at home because the parents think the teacher should raise their children. Well, if the teacher tries to raise the children, the parent gets angry and wants to come up there and shoot the teacher. But
the kids shooting the teachers. We're moving on to this topic. What are your thoughts regarding the 6-year-old that shot his teacher in Newport News, Virginia?
I blame the parents because that child should not have access to a weapon. And
they need to be charged.
What is wrong with you that you think you should shoot your teacher?
And I
want to
know.
Or say.
That's what I want to know. And she probably was a teacher that really cared about him, and this was correcting him and making sure he did things properly. I really want to know what was it that maybe she'd been trying to get him to do right.
And she may
and,
not have
and
done
then
anything.
What, and what happened to telling your parents and telling the counselors, hey, I don't want to be in her class anymore. Can y'all transfer me?
Exactly.
Well, he's 6 years old,
exactly.
But...
Well, they
but
know
still.
They know what they want to do and don't want to do. But I don't understand it. And then you saw the tragedy over here in Dallas where two young girls got to fighting.
I seen it through you. What really happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, there were two girls, teenagers, fighting on the parking lot, and one left and went somewhere and got a gun, came back and decided she was going to shoot the other girl. However, she missed. And shot and hit this, I think he's 14. This young man was a bystander. He just happened to be out there. And this crazy
mm-hmm.
girl decides she's going to, you know, try to, I guess, kill her nemesis or enemy or whatever. But she didn't shoot the girl that she had to fight with. She shot this boy and killed him.
That's so sad.
Not
and see, we have a lot of Latino teens.
That's first degree murder. You know, she,
a lot
she
of
left, teen, she had time to cool off.
When I seen you had posted that story and tagged me, that looked like Jackson, because
mm-hmm.
there's been a lot of teen-on-teen murders going on in retaliation.
Yeah. A little
2-year-old baby got shot leaving a balloon ceremony. And... Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little 2-year-old baby got shot.
Yeah, and see, at the beginning of the show.
And now the baby paralyzed.
Well, we were discussing that. There was a time when you didn't want to harm another black person. Life was precious.
Mm-hmm.
You revered life. But now, you know, they've glamorized rap music and these videos.
And then...
And
then this doesn't even seem like gangster mentality, not the old G mentality.
I don't think even gangsters.
I know
you all had
the old school OGs, but I know in the 80s when the violence was beginning,
like
the OGs used to say to me, don't harm women, don't harm children, don't harm old people. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
whoa.
I think even the mafia had codes. Certain things that the mafia didn't mm-hmm. even do. But, and you know, when you see all this shooting, people say, wow, wild west. I said, no, the west wasn't even this wild. You didn't.
And the dirty south ain't that dirty. And the dirty south ain't that dirty.
Uh-uh.
I don't know what's going on.
I believe it's just the availability of weapons. Because a lot of this mess would not happen if you didn't have guns.
And what happened to counting the 10? And what happened to counting the 10? Are saying a quick prayer?
They don't know anything.
You know,
about
before
that.
Your temper flare, before your temper flare up, just take a deep breath.
The tempers, in my opinion, tempers don't even get a chance to flare up. They just.
You're right about that.
I just feel like killing somebody. And, you know, all these drive-by shootings, driving by shooting up people's houses, willy-nilly, just because.
Right.
Temper flaring, to me, that's road rage. And you know, I've never wanted to kill anybody because of road rage, but I have wanted to do some things to people that's driving crazy out there.
Ram in the back of their car or something, huh?
Well, you know, I hope you get down there and you get a speeding ticket. Or,
right.
You know, I hope you get stuck in traffic, anything. I don't want to kill you. You know, and I remember when I would never say a curse word, and I would be in the car riding with Aunt Chris, and she'd be cussing, and I would be wondering, well, why is she cussing? She said, and when you start driving, you're going to start cussing. I said, oh, no.
And sure enough.
That is nothing that can make me curse. I'll never say a bad word. Oh, boy, was I wrong. When I started driving, I really started cussing.
And you know how our mom used to drive too. Yeah, mom used to drive like she was smoking the bandits. Yeah, your Aunt Chris
sure
and mom.
And especially your mama.
I think mom would say the SHIT word when driving. Somebody pull out in front of her.
Shit. Well, she used to drive like a bat out of hell. Ain't looking for
right.
Long to see.
Over there by the Quick Pack, you know over there by the Quick Pack where Uncle Herman and used to be? That little curve. Oh, well, mom could turn that curve on like two wheels.
On two wheels? Yeah, she was showing up a real rough driver. And Uncle Herman... You know, Uncle Herman used to do 95, I think, on Scott Street, because the kids would be out there playing in the street, and people, here comes Mr. Russell, here comes Mr. Russell. We cleaned the street, because he didn't care. You know, if he ran over you, that's just too bad. Oh, and they used to have to talk to him, Russell, quit driving so
drive
fast.
Too. Let that Diane drive over there in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah,
my sister
but
Diane,
people over here will,
could,
yeah, people will
could.
Make you drive crazy in Dallas. Because they're pulling out
You all used to talk about how crazy the drivers were over there. You just got to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm driving in Dallas now, I'm very careful.
I still
stay on the streets and the highways. That you, with all the buildup, I still stay on the streets and highways that you all taught me to drive on.
Yes, I get on the so-called freeways.
That's
not
scary.
Because people don't observe speed limits over here.
Right.
Because if anytime somebody speeds through a school zone, to me, you have no respect for life. You won't even stop for a school bus that has stopped, has the arms out and the blinking red light. And you have people who go in either direction, you know, past the school bus. You don't know what those kids are going to do. And the speed limit is 20, which to me 20 is a little too fast to go through a speed zone for children, because a lot of people don't do 20; they're doing 30. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, I don't know where you're going that you got to speed through this school zone. And you know, 9 times out of 10, you go through there on a routine basis, a regular basis. And you know where the school zones are. I know where the school zones are when I'm going somewhere. And I know these school zones, they're going to be in effect when I'm going to work. I leave home, you know, a little extra early.
And subdivisions like this subdivision, kids, pedestrians, people live. Even our homeowners association even talked about getting speed bumps on some of the streets. Which you shouldn't have to if people knew how to drive with sense.
Just don't care. Just have no.
The potholes of the potholes should be speed bumps enough.
Amen. I see y'all had a sinkhole yesterday. A sinkhole.
Yes, and then in Byron, but now Byron's having a water crisis. A main pipe has burst and businesses are shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Even clinics. You saw that? Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you seen that. The mayor is just like brokenhearted. I mean, major businesses, that they showed the DoorDash guy. He's like, all the businesses are closed. My customers are ordering food, and people got to eat. And every, from fine dining to fast food. And then the mayor even mentioned that the clinics were closed, too. People have doctor's appointments. Can't even make it to their doctor's appointments.
Yeah, I posted that on Facebook. You know,
okay, I thought I seen what you had posted.
It's not just Jack, but I was surprised at Byram, because I know I got Facebook friends that like to brag about living in Byram. Well, y'all have
Byram is working on getting their own system, but then also, I guess, in a way, they're watching this $800 million deal that Jackson has, too, because they know they'll be part of that deal, too.
Well, I would go ahead and get my own. You know, like mother may have, papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. I'm not sitting around waiting and depending on somebody else to do something. Yeah, it sounds good about all this federal money coming.
Because that's why Byron had been working on getting their own. But then I guess it's, exactly.
Well, if that money
stay with your plan and stay with your plan, and if it works together, let it work together.
because if the money has to go through the hands of politicians, if it starts out as $800 million, by the time it gets down to the city, it's probably
$100,000. I thought you were going to at least say $800,000. I thought you were going to at least say $800,000. You say
$100,000. Because we've got to give money to my cousin's business, my sister-in-law's nephew's daughter is, she got a contract that we need to, you know, let her in on this, that, and the other. Mm-mm.
And you make a good point. And then the question is, where are all those businesses? Because we need them. I need it, too, as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. They start coming out of woodwork if it's, you know, they think they're going to get a handout. And so I don't trust that. No.
That's why DC said, that's why DC said, they're like, DC's like, okay, you all have to start working on it now, and then we'll issue the money out. We'll reimburse.
And then when will it be completed? How long is it going to take to complete something?
And investors are investing, so it must be some people planning to build up, but they want the water system to be intact, which is understandable. So there are investors in D.C.
And I wouldn't depend on that, because look at what happened to the woman who bought Metro Center.
Exactly.
And then what happened to the guy?
We were pumped about that.
Because
I remember telling somebody, we could put a location in the mall. This lady going to have it open by such and such day. Even Gino had a Big Apple Inn in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing good business.
What happened to the two young brothers who had bought Hotel Warthall, and they were going to invest in that and turn it into whatever? They got the money and ran, and I don't know what's going on with this sister that's building the tech center. She came in from Atlanta with her $25 million of her own money, and she's investing in the tech center. How is that going? When I talk to people in Jackson, they don't know anything about it.
Experiences like romantic oceanfront dinners and floating pool cabanas. Through the pandemic, couples have felt like they have been restrained from what they can do, and they want to really be able to celebrate. That's the distinction scene, but there, some couples never leave the unique rooms with no fourth wall called sanctuary for much of their stay. And now those stays average a week compared to 5 days before the pandemic. There's this new
term that was created called revenge travel. And I feel we see a little bit of that influence also in our honeymoon. So maybe we have the revenge moons happening here.
We got special rates at the hotel. With sanctuaries that look like this, it's easy to get any kind of revenge travel you want at Jade Mountain, honeymooner or not. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
You know, Honey Fun also finds couples are getting more in gifts. The average used to be $1,500 before the pandemic, and now it's almost $1,950. Brittany, a lot of people want these revenge vacations, but people are getting better deals nowadays. Things cost more, but people are getting better incentives to travel with certain companies and certain websites.
Yes, there definitely are. But, you know, would you go to Hawaii?
No.
For one of those tropical places, where would you go?
I've never been to Hawaii. Just sit me there. I don't care what island, a big island, small island, medium island. Just put me out there.
There you go. I would probably go to Ireland, you know, that kind of island. Where it's a little bit cooler, you get some rain. And you know what? I'm going to just out Keith here real quick. You know what he's doing in between all these things? He's eating all these Tootsie Rolls.
The flavored Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, he's going to have some while I do weather here. So enjoy, Keith.
So I will go to Hawaii because that's fruit pot.
So, there you go. Hey, it all ties in. And today we're feeling a little tropical because our warmth continues. We're going to see those highs in the upper 70s. Near record once again. Rain is going to be moving in early tomorrow morning. Not all of us are going to see the rain. It's not going to last all day. It's actually going to clear out by the time you head out to lunch. And then we also have a cooler end to the week. So we'll start that cool down tomorrow. But by the weekend, we're going to be seeing those temperatures topping out in the upper 50s, which is right where we're supposed to be for this time of year. But we are significantly drier. We had that dryer move in behind yesterday's front. We sold out from around Paris down to Greenville and Corsicana.
Okay,
and now Edmonton. We still have some moisture, so that's where we're seeing a little bit of fog.
This is ridiculous.
Around Palestine, Tyler, over into both.
Okay, go boot it. Fail.
West of 35, we still have that elevated fire risk for today and tomorrow. We're going to see those humidities dropping below about 30% during the afternoon hour. And also the front brought us some cooler air temperatures this morning, starting off about 15 degrees. We have the scattered showers, but a lot of spots are also dry. So
hello?
Everybody is going to see the precipitation tomorrow. And then by the time we start to see these thunderstorms developing, the actual thunderstorms with the yellows and oranges there, that's
hello?
Going to be in East Texas. As the system is already clearing out of the area, leaving us with clearing skies towards the afternoon and the evening hours. But the winds are going to be picking up out of the west tomorrow, 10 to 20 miles an hour. The severe risk, though, you can see in yellow, that slight risk, and that's going to be well east of us. So we're just going to see some light showers in the area. And it's also going to help with our pollen forecast a little bit as well. We'll see that pollen count dropping back into the medium range for Wednesday. And we're hoping for some cooler temperatures. I am really hoping for some cooler weather in January. We are finally getting back to seasonal for Saturday and Sunday. Upper 50s, but the mornings, those are definitely going to be noticeably cooler. We're back into the upper 30s. Starting Friday morning, right into the start of next week.
Brittany, time now, 6:52, still to come. The Dallas Cowboys and their fans riding high with their Super Bowl dreams still alive.
Cousin.
You can go, Brittany. At Rooms to Go, you can go any. You can go by Keith or go room, by beautiful room.
Hello.
This program is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from COVID-19. Take the following everyday steps to protect yourself and others.